Maven Hubbard, spring has sprung, the birds are chirping, and the pop girls are pop girling.
Oh, and you know what that means, Nora Princiati.
Every single album is back. This spring is packed with new releases from some of the biggest pop stars in the world, including our girl Taylor Swift, and we'll be covering it all.
We'll, of course, break down every angle on the Tortured Poets Department, and we'll also cover new music from Beyonce, Dua Lipa, Maggie Rogers, Kacey Musgraves, and Ariana Grande.
It's Pop Girl Spring on every single album.
New episodes starting March 28th.
On Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
Welcome to Jam Session. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm Amanda Dobbins.
We've got some really exciting topics. I just can't wait to dig into them. But first, we have to start with Taylor Swift, which I feel less enthused about, but do have a lot of thoughts on.
Yes.
Amanda, where are you at with the Tortured Poets Department?
Where I'm at is that I also learned about Chapel Roan this weekend. Do you know about Chapel Roan?
I do, because Spotify, shout out to our corporate parent, has been feeding it to me constantly on Spotify. And I heard that she had a, like, weekend one, she had a big Coachella moment. So I'm like new to her, but
yeah,
I think I've got like 2 weeks on you.
So I think, yeah, because I think she had the Coachella moment. She had a Tiny Desk and she has been opening for Olivia Rodrigo. So she's like been in the ether for the last few months. And it does feel like the millennials are finally catching
We're
up.
Late.
But so Chapel Roan was suggested to me by my friend Claire and also by her 5-year-old son, Cam.
Oh. Great. Thanks,
in
Cam.
In response to my number one complaint about the Taylor Swift album, which is just there are absolutely no bops.
That is true. Chapel Roan is all bops.
And like, Chapel Roan is high all energy. And I'm just like, ma'am, it is almost May. I may be old, but I'm not dead inside. And sometimes I just want a banger and I want to feel alive.
You know,
I don't want to sit at your creative writing workshop and say things like, yes, this is powerful imagery. And the Jehovah's Witness suit really stayed with me. And other bullshit.
It's like, not powerful imagery, though.
But you know, like, you know, in like class when every single person
sure.
like reads their labored short story and you have to say nice things like, well, I can really tell that there's like a lot of emotion here. And that was really conveyed. And I thought that the image of the Jehovah's Witness suit was very powerful. That's my polite review. Thank you.
Wow. 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 First of all, I was crafting an email yesterday and I was thinking about things in pop culture that are current that I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the only things I could come up with was Olivia Rodrigo. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Love
and Olivia Rodrigo
well.
And Chapel Roan work with the same producer who
oh, cool.
is bringing the juice.
You know, My main takeaway was, like, I remember when Taylor Swift did her first song with Max Martin. I believe it is We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Mm-hmm.
And I long for those days. I long for the dumb lyrics of We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together versus the dumb lyrics of So High School. One thing that I never, ever want to contemplate is watching a male play Grand Theft Auto while ignoring everything else happening in the room. And I feel that Taylor Swift should be asking for more and not enduring that fate. However, this is exactly what everyone thought. This relationship is, to quote Taylor Swift, so high school. And so she's going through all of the pain of dating a bro.
That at least is one of the more evocative moments on the album.
That's true. I
mean, rhyming Grand Theft Auto with Aristotle or whatever happens, that's the same song, right?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the whole album.
I made it through in the interest of doing my damn job.
Is it only 31 songs?
Yeah.
I think I listened to a lot of them. I'm really into the jokes, as is my want these days. I gotta say, everyone bringing the memes about her saying she wants to live in the 1830s, I salute you and I thank you. That's the kind of thing where you're like, oh, you don't have anyone left who's comfortable saying bad idea. And that's like a really bad sign.
And you also have enablers who are hurting, not helping the process at this point.
Yeah.
The meme that I saw the most was the Taylor Swift, you know, I am so depressed, I want to die. And then Jack Antonoff, colon, and it's like, worst beat ever. And I saw that like 40 times and laughed at all of them. But that I saw that before I got to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Which, when that beat comes in, I audibly said in my car, like, oh, no. Like, I just, sir, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's bad. My very amateurish musical criticism aside, I had two, like, talking points that I wanted to dig into.
Okay, I also have a larger one as well. But you first, go ahead.
I'm going to throw two at you. They kind of go together. I guess my biggest one, well, the secondary one, this is not as big, is like Maddie Healy can't be worth it. And like, I didn't know that like I would feel bad for Joe Alwyn for actually not being the subject of this album. Like, I think it would have been a better outcome if he was like more impactful on her over 6 years.
Well,
so I want to talk about the Maddie Healy of it, but that's probably more minor to my other point that I feel like you will have a lot of intelligent things to say is like, why is she undoing all of the work she has done over the last 10 years. I don't really understand the decision to like change the meaning of her existing songs and like undo the mythology she's spent so much time crafting and writing. And also like deciding to tell everyone, whether it's true or not, that like either she drinks a lot or she likes to party and we never knew it. Like, I feel like she's trying to throw out a brand new image now. And by doing that, like discarding a lot of like the myth making she's engaged in. And I really don't get it. Like, how do you explain that?
I mean, I can't explain the decision process except to say that I think it's basically like a lack of decision making. Like, mm-hmm. I think this is just sort of like the vomit draft album, which is what we call, well, what anyone who's ever tried writing, you're often encouraged to do a first draft, which is a vomit draft, which is just like get everything out, get everything on paper. And then you can edit it and turn it into actually something good. And you can make choices and be like, okay, this is working. And what if I put this over here? And maybe there's a better way to say this, or maybe I don't want to say this at all. And, you know, she has been doing this increasingly. She's always been prolific, but especially in the pandemic, she's just kind of like, well, I'm just going to put stuff out. And the time between releases has gotten shorter. And it just seems like she is spending less time working on the songs, certainly less time editing them. There are multiple references on this album to her needing to sell a piece of real estate to get over someone. Like, that is an idea that comes up in two different songs, which, number one, like, going past the fact that that is, like, the most deeply unrelatable thing I've ever heard in my entire life, it's only powerful or once, you know?
Right.
The second time, I'm just like, oh, you have recycled this thing. You need to sell both the apartment and your house in London. Like, oh, okay. Like, what are we doing? So
it reminds It reminds me of one of my favorite Taylor Swift facts, which is overlooked, which is when she bought a house near the Kennedy compound on Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And then sold it like 12 weeks later because that relationship with Connor Kennedy didn't work out. That's so fucking funny.
I mean, and it's fine. Like, I guess there's some honesty. This is like a thing that she does in her life. But still, you know, that's basically like using the same large word four times in a row. It's like, overusing the Taylor Swift thesaurus. It's ridiculous. So to me, there just kind of is this like undisciplined quality.
I find it so weird because she's still on tour for the Eras tour. And I feel like the people who are going to see it this summer and in the fall, maybe she wants this, but it's just like a totally different way to interpret the show, even though she's not changing the show.
Right.
And again, maybe she wants that. But I just find that to be very strange and kind of crappy. I would be like annoyed that I didn't get to see like leg one or whatever before the Tortured Poets Department came out.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe a reason for doing that is that she doesn't like want to tour this album. And she had all this stuff. And there is also an incentive for her specifically and just like in culture in the world at large now of just like more is more, you know? Like the more streaming minutes, like the more time that you can give people, the more money you make, frankly. And I don't like, I who think that Taylor Swift is a very calculated individual, and that has negative connotations. I don't always mean it that way. I think she's also very savvy, but even I don't think that she was just like, well, this will just like boost my minutes. I do think that there's just this sort of, I'm just like putting everything out there quality that, you know, even with like with the Taylor's versions, she's rewriting things. I mean, I've been on the All Too Well Taylor's version hobby horse for like 45 years, but that is an example of the original thing was edited. And by the way, written with someone else who was helping her make choices. And it's a perfect pop song. The new one is just like gobbledygook for the last 4 minutes, respectfully. And that can be part of someone's process, but if you're just dumping it all out, it feels really messy to me and repetitive and boring.
I mean, the thing is, like, Bleachers is also repetitive and boring. They have like one sound. I do feel like she's really suffering from having like closed the circle.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you mentioned All Too Well having a co-writer. That's Liz Rose. I feel like everyone who loves All Too Well, which is like most of her fans, has been like, why don't you write another song with Liz Rose? Like, since that happened.
Right.
She also writes a lot with like Little Big Town. She's a very in-demand songwriter in the country music scene. And like, I'm not suggesting she needs to like go get Max Martin. Like, maybe she is beyond that. And I assume Max Martin exerts a lot of control based on where he is in his career. But like, I don't know. I totally agree. Like, I don't know. Write a song with Ed Sheeran or write a song with someone else you like who's in the circle. Write a song with Lana Del Rey. Like, it does feel like so much discarded material that she just decided to put out. But I agree with you.
Discarded, just like half-baked, you know? She's just kind of like, whatever. Like, I'll just dish anything out. And to be fair, she has the fan base that will embrace it and seek it out. And it was like an international event, even though...
Totally.
So in some ways... She can do whatever she wants.
She certainly can. I think the cynical nature of this release is like just kind of a bummer after honestly like a really triumphant stretch. Like her 2023 was pretty incredible and I think overall fun. Like I had a great time going to see the Eras Tour. I loved the collision of Taylor Swift and NFL. Like
Eras Tour, the movie, right?
The movie. Yeah. The movie.
I was like, did you fly somewhere to see it without me?
I don't go to concerts unless they're free and I don't have to like deal with a big crowd. Anyway, I just feel like she really should have taken a break and she didn't. But it's just too bad. It's like, it just reminds me of like so many, like it's just like very Disney. It's like so big and like you kind of like can't stop, but you really should. ESPN is similar as part of the, I always like, this is too long. Like, they should never have blown a sports center out like this.
I have two thoughts. I'd like to respond to your Maddie Healy, Joe Alwyn thought.
Okay.
Which is just to say, I feel like Joe Alwyn, this is probably a W for Joe Alwyn. I, like, personally think he's probably pretty relieved. And it's like...
Well, unlike Maddie Healy's family, he did not release a statement saying, I am relieved. So we'll never know. But at least we know that Maddie Healy alleges to be relieved.
I mean, I think like Joe Alwyn can like go out in public again, you know? And
oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know whether maybe he sees that as a sign of disrespect. I would receive it as a sign of respect. I would be like, oh, okay, you would like actually what we had was like real enough. And maybe real enough means like boring enough that it didn't inspire. And or maybe what we had was real enough that then you had to go fucking insane over Maddie Healy for 3 months, which is well, frankly iconic.
I'm pretty sure this is, I thought this like as soon as I started hearing some music and whatever, I might text this to you. And then I did dabble in Taylor Swift Reddit.
Oh, good.
Many Swifties and me, not a Swiftie, believe that Maddie Healy is like kind of a decade old and like she's kind of had a thing with him on and off for a long time.
Oh, interesting.
And I feel pretty certain of that based on the music and the impact.
Okay.
This is definitely like, listen, I am someone who is like definitely gets obsessed with like a very small amount of time and information.
It's all relatable.
A crazy person would never do this. I wouldn't do like 6 weeks of podcasts that are like cryptically about some guy that I had a 3 month relationship with. Like I promise you, I wouldn't do that. And I would do a lot of embarrassing things related to dating and men.
Well, the thing is like,
wait, sorry. Just one other thing. I think it's possible she cheated on Joel with Maddie Healy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's not a pervasive. Well, I think maybe they're like growing apart. That's not a pervasive theory, by the way.
Let's be real.
But I just want to throw it out there.
She and Joe Alwyn were also like a pandemic relationship. They were together for a few years, yeah. And then at least 3 of those years were COVID padding, which happens to the best of us.
Of course.
It was a once in a lifetime, I hope, event. You're stuck in a house. What are you going to do? But you wrote some songs together. I actually like that song with Bon Iver a lot. Shout out to Joe Alwyn, who got a writing credit.
Well, my favorite song is, I think my favorite Taylor Swift song is Peace. And I'm just like, that's such a beautiful and sad love song. I don't know. Like, don't take that away from me, Taylor Swift.
Well, maybe she's not. My issue with like the Maddie Healy thing is that like, whether it was like, just like 3 months super heated rebound, whether it was on and off for 10 years, whether it was some combination of the two, like, what great material for just, like, a truly angry album. And she didn't land it. It's all over the place.
I know. Wouldn't it have been so much better to have gotten You I Don't Know, Taylor's version?
Yes.
Like, whatever that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's a related thing. I feel this way about anyone from the ages of, like, 28 to 35, which is, like, the energy level is so low. Like, are they just asleep? Mm. Like, wake up, everybody. Like, and again, this just goes back to where is my bop? But it's just this, like, 80 BPM, like, oh, I'm, like, looking in the mirror and I'm sad. And, like, I understand everyone is just living in the shadow of Lana Del Rey, Taylor included. She's even alluded to it. But it's like wake up, you know? Talk faster, do other things, have some energy. Yes,
I feel like that's
of course,
a big part of it too.
Yeah, but she's younger, so.
Yeah, but she's, I don't know. I like Billie Eilish. I think everyone does, right? Like, she's kind of like uncontroversial so far.
I still think that at some point I'm just like, wake up. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I understand she's in a room. That Barbie song was so boring. The Dua Lipa song.
Bad guy is a
bop. Dua Lipa did I Can Do It with a Broken Heart first. And that's called Dance the Night Away. And that is a song that should have won an Academy Award and was snubbed.
Also, I want to note, as I'm sure you are alluding to, that song is written by Mark Ronson. Dua Lipa works with other people.
Yeah.
And Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt, they got the juice. Taylor, perhaps you should work with them. Lady Gaga brought her to great heights. So maybe you should consider it as well.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Here's another complaint, and this leads into something else on our rundown.
Okay.
Criminal waste of Post Malone. What the fuck? Like, absolutely a criminal waste of that man's singing voice and presence. Like, to make him a background singer that's, like, heavily, like, mixed or something is really stupid, and all it made me do is put on Levi's jeans for, like, an hour on repeat. That's one of my favorite songs, like, a very, very, very long time.
Your late-breaking passion for Post Malone, not like late-breaking like today, but in the trajectory of Post Malone,
yeah,
is special.
Here's the thing about me, Amanda.
Post Malone is to you as Chapel Roan is to me, but I'm even later to Chapel Roan. That's okay.
Well, I know. I think I'm even later to Posty. I mean, I've always liked Post Malone, but I've never like identified it as a Post Malone fan. I think it's safe to say that I've become a Post Malone fan when he has like decided to go kind of country indie and appeal to millennial women. In the past 3 months, he has been in the J-Lo music video. He's been on this Beyonce song, and now he's like Taylor Swift's muse. And so if he has not moved into my Venn diagram, I don't know what that is.
I mean, Post Malone charming the pants off of Jennifer Lopez, metaphorically, not actually. It's a
2024 highlight.
He is so endearing. And I agree with you. Unfortunately, no one else watched the documentary that far. I think we might be the only two people on earth who understand the cinematic power of the greatest love story never told, a documentary starring Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. I don't think anyone else has literally finished it. I've been trying.
They're missing out. They really are missing out. I really learned a lot.
That's another thing that's wrong with Gen Z and 28 to 34 year olds is that they don't respect Jennifer Lopez.
I completely agree. I don't know. Should we try to buy all the tickets that aren't selling just to make her feel
better? I think the other problem there is that we nor anyone else can afford them. So,
yeah. Well, concerts are just too expensive.
I think that her pricing is not realistic in any ecosystem.
But Post Malone, also Taylor Swift, like using like special effects to take away Post Malone's face tattoos and like give them to herself. It's just like really weird. And then I gotta say, Ethan Hawke, very charming man.
And Josh Charles.
Yeah, I'm a fucking huge Good Wife fan. I never recovered from the death of Will. Those two guys are wasted. And like their best moment in that video is in like the still photo of them on set on Instagram. And I'm just like, this is not fun. Like the fun is missing. I need the fun that Post Malone brought to the greatest love story never told. And I do think that Beyonce tapped into that because Levi's Jeans is like such a fun song. Jennifer Lopez identified it and put it on screen. And Taylor Swift is just like relegating him to the background. And if Post Malone, whose face I hate, can win me over, he should be front and center because apparently I can overlook it.
I just want to have fun. There's no fun to be had anywhere. And maybe it is just that like summer is coming. I'm ready.
No,
I might just be like a mom trying to feel alive on a Monday morning, you know, but like this is not doing it. It's just not.
Venom on venom on venom.
No.
Denim on denim on denim. Denim on denim on denim. As you know, I don't know any lyrics. If you want more Taylor Swift, Nathan and Nora on every single album went like over 2 hours long on this album, which I get because like.
And they were probably more respectful and certainly more informed.
I think they were more measured I will say, I have one other note, and I think this is clear from a lot of the different strands of mass culture these days. Easter eggs have gone too far. Like, just like, we got to stop. We just got to, like, not be hiding things. Don't need to, like, take it to Reddit to decipher everything. I think that, like, this is true, as far as I can tell, of the MCU. This is true. Yeah. Of music. Like, I think that we have, like, are so far beyond the fun of Easter eggs. Just give us a bop. Give us a good feel or
less
a provocative
homework,
movie.
More fun. That's my 2024 attitude.
Or even, like, dare we say less homework, more quality. Like, we both really liked Oppenheimer. I wouldn't even say that's fun, but it's really high quality.
I liked 2 out of the 3 hours of Oppenheimer.
I don't like Robert Downey Jr., but that's because he's also not fun. But that's,
I mean,
whatever.
That the entire third hour didn't make any sense and went on forever, but that's okay. It was still good. You're right. I liked it more than I liked this album.
Yeah. And that's because there's like, there's like actual substance there.
Hey, did
so
you
let's
know
move-
that Josh Hartnett is in a movie this summer called Trap by M. Night Shyamalan? Do you know about this?
No, I don't. Wow.
The trailer is like the best 2 minutes of movie going I've had this year. But it also does give some things away that I think it's intentional. So I don't know whether to tell you to watch it or the trailer or not, but I just want to put Josh Hartnett Trap on your radar. It's coming out
scary?
On the 9th. It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, apparently they don't have a lot of hope for it. August 9th, that's not really a good release date.
But I think it's like one of the sleeper summer situation.
Okay. Interesting. I'll consider it.
It's about, Josh Hartnett plays a dad who's taking his daughter to a pop concert.
Mm.
More Dua Lipa than Taylor Swift, but, and then some interesting situations present themselves.
You know what, like, just feels like it'd be really fun right now?
What?
Jurassic Park. Like, can we just make movies like that?
Like, they do every several years, and they're starting to make them again, and Scarlett Johansson is going to be in the Jurassic Park
movies.
Oh, that
sounds interesting.
Interesting. The whole entire Jurassic World franchise was a disaster.
I haven't seen any of those, but like the original Jurassic Park with Jeff Goldblum and
Young, it's really good. Also, I would love to be 9 again and just like be dropped off at the mall and see a bunch of studio movies and go to Bath and Body Works, you know? But we can't have it all.
I'm cold. It's like cold in New York, and I'm like so ready for fun and warmth.
It's the same here, and that's why I'm just going to be blasting Pink Pony Club on the way home.
Is that by Chapel Roan?
Yes. That's her biggest hit. It's older. It's older. I'm late to it. And I know that there are like a lot of young, hip people who are just like, oh God, now this woman's on the train. I got to get off. But that's fine.
I saved some of her songs that were fed to me. I'm just reviewing my liked songs here on Spotify so I can let you know. I can't find it right now. I'll have to follow up on that. But I really love Levi's jeans. That's the point of my story.
Okay.
Also, last thing I just want to say, have you listened to any of the Kacey Musgraves album? I love Kacey Musgraves.
No, not yet, because seemed a little... Is it fun or is it emo?
I think that like her wordplay is like fun. Also, she's sort of like obvious with what she's doing. Like she's, but it's like, I don't know, pleasant. I'm very pro Kacey Musgraves.
I'm very pro as well. I just haven't gotten there.
Also, I feel like Kacey Musgraves like used Diary of a Song to talk about how she was like, you know, on LSD to write Slow Burn. Mm-hmm. This Diary of the Song is one of my favorite web series. And I feel like that's just like a lot more fun than Taylor Swift being like, I was a functional alcoholic until someone noticed or something like that. So
yeah,
whatever. All right, let's move on to something that actually is fun. And I have intense FOMO
Speaking of
over.
90s nostalgia and having fun.
I can't believe I didn't try to get invited to Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party. Because
so
it seems
why
so
why don't you
fun.
Share with all of us what your strategy would have been?
Wow, I don't even know where to begin. I actually, like, I have no idea how one would pierce the Beckham bubble. Right. I have no idea. But I should have started thinking about it like 20 years ago.
So the major news, the number one news out of this was a video that David Beckham, Instagram husband of all time, posted on
Instagram.
On the feed. So you can still go see
it. To his grid. Yeah, check it out. It's his second time in a year capturing the Spice Girls together at one of their birthdays. The previous one was at Jerry Hallowell. I don't know if she's going to be Horner for much longer.
Oh, yeah. I did read a little bit about that. Sending her our best.
Yeah, I went really deep. I've read a lot of the texts. So, and by a lot, I mean all. Anyway, this is the second time David Beckham has shared joy with the world in the form of capturing the Spice Girls having fun together. And from this one, they were singing the Five Spice Girls, Stop Right Now, Thank You Very Much, at Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday.
From with the video, choreography. In the same lineup as they were in the original video.
They all looked incredible. These five women are aging absolutely incredibly. I loved all of their fashion choices. Also, it was amazing.
Speaking of a bop, Stop Right Now. Thank you very
stop
much. Come
right
on.
Now. It's so good. Oh so, so good.
Do you remember where you were the first time you heard Wannabe? I do. I was in literally in gym class. I was in seventh grade. Jade wasn't alive, but that's okay.
I do not remember, but I love that song. I mean, they're so good. I remember seeing Spice of Your Life. It was like in winter.
Yeah.
I mean, Spice World, excuse me. Yeah. I mean, the Wannabe like record was just amazing. Yeah. It was just, the party seemed like so much fun. Also, not that many uber famous to Americans there. Like, I'm sure there are like some like important British like tabloid figures there that aren't that meaningful to us. But like the only people that really got the call up from America are Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. which is like, he's basically British at this point.
He's basically British at this point.
Eva Longoria.
Sure.
Mark Anthony, fellow like Miami guy, because mm-hmm. David Beckham is now Miami guy. And that might be it.
There was a Page Six report today talking about Tom Cruise's antics at the party, planted no doubt by someone close to Tom Cruise, being like he was breakdancing and flipping and everybody was stunned. It's like no one else recorded this, but
well, he's, you know, notably does his own stunts.
Yeah,
so
sure.
He did that there as well.
He's still filming Mission Impossible 8. That's like why he is basically
that's
in
crazy.
London now, because all they do now, all he does now is parachute into people's gardens and film
that's
it.
That's awesome. Sounds fun to have that garden. So it just seemed really fun. A couple other things I really liked about it. First mm-hmm. of all, hashtag Harper7, as her parents refer to her on Instagram. I just thought she was dressed like the most appropriately I've seen a young woman who is famous dress in like a really long time. And I was like, great parenting, Victoria and David Beckham.
It was very sweet. She was wearing a slip dress that I assume was her mother's design, but like was fitted in her way that was age appropriate. But she was, it was also like she was getting to like dress up for a big event.
Dress like an adult, but look like a girl in a tasteful way.
Totally.
It's very hard to pull off.
Yes.
Very infrequently achieved among the famous people of the world. And I found that like really sweet and touching.
Yes.
This was a true family event. The six of them were like left the party at 3 a.m. together, like all staggering into a limo, which I love.
Right.
Notably, we say six because Nicola Peltz Beckham was not there. The wife of Brooklyn Beckham, who allegedly has a feud with her in-laws.
Yes.
Amanda, why wasn't she there?
Specifically with Victoria. And it emerged during the wedding that they were really at odds. And they've
over the wedding.
Yeah. So the next day, Nicola Peltz Beckham posted from Florida where she was with her grandmother, who she loves very much. And so she had to be with her grandmother, which is really nice. But it was just very strong, don't you dare bring that woman within a 50-foot radius of this party vibes.
So incredible.
Which is just, is like so powerful.
It's so funny. Also, I wonder, like, would they have changed their minds if he had taken over Disney? Yeah. Like, had his proxy fight been successful? Nicola's father is Nelson Peltz, who tried to, like, wrest control of Disney against Bob Iger.
But, like, it does kind of seem like their stock is fading, and so she's no longer useful. And, like, Brooklyn, respectfully, is on his, like, 45th career, right? And none of them are going well.
I think he's still doing coconut oil spawn con on YouTube.
Right, and he was trying to be a chef for a while, but it was bad. Anyway.
I just love them. The party seemed just like so much fun. And I also just like, I don't know, maybe I'm like getting past tattoos that I find ugly because I really love David Beckham. I think he just seems like he has a lot of fun in life these days and it's infectious.
I agree with that. Also just very good at conveying that sense of fun. They're great Instagram celebrities.
They're
both
such
of them.
Good
they're really
good.
And the Netflix doc really like played into that. They know how to be celebrities in an infectious, effective way.
It really is. It's like the only thing I wanted to talk about for the last 48 hours. And I wasn't even at the party.
It did look like a really fun party.
It really did. Also, it was like at a members club in London that I've never heard of. So I'm like, oh, this is legit. Like this is actually private.
Yeah.
So it just seems so great. Good, happy birthday to her. All right, last topic of the day. We avoided this when it was just cruel. And now it's turned funny, kind of. So
God, PETA's coming to your door, not mine.
Did you read Why Does Everyone Hate My Dog in the cut?
I didn't because I already know the answer.
It's a pretty embarrassing piece of writing. Yeah. But anyway, many people sent it to me.
Okay. To be clear, I don't hate the dogs. I hate the dog owners.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. I can't share them here.
Yeah.
So Lauren Sanchez and Jeff Bezos went to a state dinner at the White House. She wore a controversial dress. It was like a red corset dress. It was like fairly revealing. I don't think it was even like that revealing. It was just kind of like not my taste.
She has a very specific West Side Los Angeles aesthetic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On steroids or many millions of dollars of injectables because she can afford all that. Well, like it's a different way of looking.
I would say she's bodacious, you know? She's like, sure. She's whatever. Keith McNally, provocateur and restaurateur, called her look revolting, all caps on Instagram. He has since edited his caption, so don't go looking for it, but you can find it reproduced in many places. So this was obviously rude and also like out of the blue, much like Keith McNally's Instagram posts, which I read with bated breath because they're like just, you never know where he's going to zag to next. I wasn't expecting this one. And whatever, it was rude. We moved on. We didn't talk about it here because like we're not really in the business of like shitting on Lauren Sanchez without a long Vanity Fair or Vogue profile. And even then, I came away from not liking her. So whatever. Last night, turned out on Instagram, seen on Instagram, Balthazar, one of his most beloved restaurants. There were
the crown jewel of the McNally establishment, I would say.
A place that you should bring your son because they have great French fries.
Oh, okay.
Should he ever return to New York, your son? And depends who you ask, but rodents were seen running across the bar at Balthazar. If you ask Keith McNally, he says that someone unleashed five white mice to get back at him.
Six white mice.
Six to get back at him. So it was like some kind of emissary of the Sanchez-Bezos duo.
And he identified the woman by name who posted on Instagram being like, he is vile and said mean things about Lauren Sanchez.
Yes. And then there was another video that showed like a black rat running across the bar.
Okay.
So it's hard to say what actually happened here.
Checked the origins of the second video. Is it a real rat? Is it an AI rat?
I haven't watched either because I am so disgusted and afraid of rats that I actually can't engage.
Okay.
Mice and rats. I don't have a problem with bugs, not afraid of snakes, rodents. I just can't. So I can't watch these videos.
Mice too?
Yeah. It's just really hard for me. So I haven't watched the videos, but I found this really funny. And I love that Keith McNally is saying that this is like revenge from Lauren Sanchez.
I felt that he laid out a compelling case. And I was like, I would not have made the Lauren Sanchez post. And in general, I think he wades into things that he just doesn't need to wade into as a restaurateur and upcoming memoirist even. But I did feel that it was great crisis management because he laid out what happened. He laid out the trail of how the servers identified the man and connected them to the woman who was posting. And what she said.
Yeah. M. Manning Barish. And she quoted Keith McNally. She wrote absolutely revolting in all caps and quotes.
Yeah.
So just great stuff. I hope it is true that this was a setup. And I love it. It's great. Ultimately, you know, they say no publicity is bad. All publicity is good publicity. I don't think that's true when it comes to a restaurant and rodents. But what do I know?
I will still go to Balthazar.
Yeah, I like to eat outside of Balthazar. So there's.
I know, but what about
outside?
All the rodents living under the houses?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I take that risk already. Okay. So
yeah, there you go.
It's fine. I was just across the street from there yesterday at the MoMA Design Store. So great stuff. What a week. I mean, I just Victoria Beckham. I'm still thinking about it.
You know who looked really good is Jerry. Maybe she'll do a stateside party, and that you can get an invite to.
I don't think so. Also, I don't know if I'm willing to go to Miami. I haven't been there in a really long time.
It's probably summer there by now.
I know. I got to go somewhere warm. I'm so sick of it.
I do need the summer energy. And Taylor Swift's not helping us. The weather's not helping us. Let's go.
Seriously. But Chapel Roan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit that and Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, let me know what you think. If you don't like it, I don't really care. I mean, I value your opinion, but it's still bringing me joy, you know? So okay, that's great. Where I am.
Yeah, you just gotta find joy. Spark joy, as Marie Kondo says.
There we go.
Thank you to our producer, Jade Whaley. We'll be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.